Amen. Thank you for your giving. Let's get our hearts prepared for the word of God this morning. So let's bow our heads and let's pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for all of our givers. God, thank you for the prayer over the offering. We believe and receive that. But God, as I deposit the word of God into the hearts of the people, we pray that it would be deposited into good ground and good soil, and it would illuminate the people. It would give them strength for their week. God, we thank you that satanic, demonic forces will not be able to move, that the revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered, uninterrupted, and unchecked. And for that, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. Get your Bibles in your hands. Glory to God. I read mainly from my digital Bibles, my phone, my iPad, my computer, but I keep a physical Bible somewhere. And so sometimes it's always good to have a physical Bible just somewhere. All right. So with that in mind, repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Now, if you believe you're going to be fed, put your hands together. Man. Lord of God. Your enthusiasm shows whether or not you believe you're going to be fed. And so I have been seeing it here at this church. I've been seeing a different level of enthusiasm about church in general, and I appreciate it. Let's keep it up, because somebody, one songwriter, said that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. And so if he is the best thing, we got to act like he is the best thing. Amen. All right, so we have been in a sermon series. We have one more to go, but let's do a recap here. The first one was Finding Freedom. This has been the Finding series. So we talked about finding freedom, number one. And then on Father's Day, we talked about finding fathers. And then we went into finding faith. And then last week, connected with my 13th anniversary as a pastor here, we went into finding fire. And today we're going to go from this topic, finding focus. Somebody say focus. We're going to give you a definition, two definitions, working definitions as we move forward, and then we'll give you an acronym. So the first is this: to pay particular attention to pay attention. When you are in school, often the teacher would say, pay attention. Or your mother or father would say, pay attention. And here's another one, another definition: to adapt to the prevailing level of light and become able to see clearly. This is a deeper definition, but when you are focusing, it has to do to adapting to the light so clarity can come. And some months ago, connected with the eclipse, we gave a shine series, and we talked a lot about light and shining, but now we need to talk about focus. And let's give you an acronym of focus. Here it is: to follow one course until successful. Follow one course until successful. One final time for emphasis: to follow one course until successful. The problem is not necessary that you aren't doing the right thing, it's that you're not doing the right thing long enough. A lot of times what happens is you get distracted on the course that you're following, and oftentimes you don't reach success. One prominent speaker said it this way: the only reason men and women fail is because of broken focus. If the devil can break your focus, break your concentration, many times he can have your life, unfortunately. It's like the Olympians or the gymnasts who are walking on the tightrope. They don't have time to pay attention to the crowd, to pay attention to the score, because they are walking a tightrope. I've got to stay focused, because focus is akin to my success. We're going to do a quick demonstration here. Brother Draylen, would you go to the left camera and put the left camera on me? And so for those in the building, I want you to look at the screen and not me. And those at home, look at the screen. Brother Dylan is going to come, and he's going to take me out of focus. Same image, same everything, but I'm about to lose focus. Same person, but it's not clear because my focus has been hindered. Now bring me back into focus. Now take me back out of focus. A lot of y'all are walking around life looking like this. Out of focus. We can, you say you're saved, and we can tell you're saved, but we can't make out any definition. I go to deliver simple, but I don't really know if you're delivered because you're not in focus. Now bring me in focus. There's so much more you can tell about me once I get into focus. You can tell the stripes on my tie. You can tell the little boutonniere that I have. You can see my watch. Why? Because it was brought into focus. Thank you, Brother Dylan and Brother Draylen. So focus is very valuable. Not only are many people walking around out of focus, sometimes you are in focus, but life is out of focus. And so what do you have to do? You have to find focus. You have to find clarity. And sometimes, in order to find clarity, you can't do everything you've been doing. Sometimes you just got to stop. I know you women love it, and you think you're the greatest multitasker, but sometimes things are falling to the ground because you're doing too much. Sometimes you have to focus on one thing at a time. Now, women, you're better at it than men. Men, you give us two things, we about ready to be confused. We need one thing at a time sometimes. And that's why sometimes I'm not going here, because I'm not in a relationship series. But that's why sometimes when we're watching the game, we didn't hear you tell us where we need to be next Wednesday. Because we focus on one thing at a time. You add in extra information, and we're getting confused. So I'm going to read a story, and then we're going to get into some ways to get focused. I'm going to read this myself because it's a lot. I'm just going to try to read it, not give a whole lot of information to it, but it was important to me. So I've shared with you before that normally my studying and my preaching are in two different lanes. In other words, I don't preach. I don't study to preach. I study to live, and then I preach out of what I live. So when I'm preaching a series, I've already studied it. So what I'm currently studying usually doesn't match up with what I'm preaching. However, yesterday as I was actually was on a plane, I was flying back, and I was listening to my normal Bible reading, and something came up, and I was like, that's going to fit within my focus sermon, so I'm actually going to start off with it. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 29:5-6. I'm going to give us just a little background. I'll read it, but I'll give us just a little background. This is King Hezekiah. He shows up at 25 years old to take over as the king of Israel, and they have had a mess. There's been a mess of the, if in our terms we say it's been a mess of the ministry. So here he comes in as a leader, and he needs to change, adjust things. In other words, he needs to get everybody refocused. And so let's look at how it starts. He said to them, listen to me, you Levites, purify yourselves and purify the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove all the defiled things from the sanctuary. Sometimes, in order to focus, you have to declutter. Next thing, our ancestors, ooh, you hoarders, that hurts. I stepped on some of you hoarders' toes right there. But it says, our ancestors were unfaithful and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They abandoned the Lord and his dwelling place. They turned their backs on him. Going down to verse 8, that is why the Lord's anger has fallen upon Judah and Jerusalem. He has made them an object of dread, horror, and ridicule, as you can see with your own eyes. In other words, they were not successful. They were falling and failing fast and hard. Now, 2 Chronicles 29:10 says this, "Now I intend to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger will turn away from us." Hezekiah said, "I'm getting ready to refocus this whole situation." And then he makes this statement here, and this is what I thought was important as I was reading it. He said, "My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him, to minister before him and to burn incense." The word that jumped out to me was negligent. Let's give you a definition of negligence: failure to take proper care in doing something. Let me just fast track why I went there, because I think it helps us make sense. A lot of times it's not necessarily your fault things are out of focus, but it's your job to fix it. Sometimes you find things all broken up and you can fuss about it, or you can go into action. And here's the thing, and I want you to put this up, guys, and this is something I want you to take away. It's a major takeaway. Negligence is the thief of focus. A lot of times what happens is when we see things awry, because it's going to require work to put it together, we just ignore it, neglect it, and we assume it's going to go away. But negligence is the thief of focus. You will never refocus, regroup, or move things in the right direction if you neglect what's right in front of you. Didn't think I would go here, but let me go here, because this is connected to last week when I talked about me arriving to 13 years of ministry. Not too long before I took over, I already knew that I was going to get the church, and my parents knew. My mother called me, and she had a dream. And in the dream, people were coming to Deliverance Temple, and there was just a whole bunch of junk in that front of the door. Once you open the door, it's just a whole bunch of stuff, clutter stuff. I can't remember if it was pots and pans. And she said people would come in and just step over the junk to come into the house of God. Can't remember what she got out of it, but what I got out of it was, now that I am going to be taken over and standing in charge, I can't allow us to look at stuff and neglect it and just step over it. So-and-so can't stand so-and-so. Everybody know it, but we just gonna step over and have church anyhow. Deacon so-and-so running through all the women in the church, but we just gonna step over it and acting like nothing going on. You can do that, but it's going to rob the focal point, which is supposed to be the cross of Jesus Christ. And a lot of churches, you can't see Jesus because there's too much junk in the trunk. So negligence is the thief of focus. And so what happened, Hezekiah was going to have to regroup. And so he told the people, he said, "Do not be negligent. Get on your job, stand in what you need to stand, because we got to regroup." And the Bible lets us know that the Judah and Jerusalem, they begin to take a turn for the better. Hezekiah was one of the best kings and the best things that happened to the time, because he took some time to refocus everything and everyone. All right, that's the appetizer. That was your chips and salsa and queso. So here, let's go ahead into the main course. Put this up. 6 ways to focus. 6 ways to focus. 6 ways to find focus. And so number one is, sometimes you have to settle to focus. Now, this is different from what I normally say. I normally teach people, don't settle, especially women, when you are trying to find a new relationship, I tell you, don't settle. And so I'm always preaching up for us to advance. But at some point, sometimes you actually do need to settle. Let me give you just a different example that you will understand. My mother used to make a very good lasagna. Love her lasagna. But it was good on the first day, but it was actually even better the second day because it settled. And it got a chance to just settle in there. And boy, you taste the stuff the second day that you didn't taste the first day. And let me talk to you bougie folk who don't like leftovers. Sometimes the leftover is better that second day. Sometimes things need to settle. Well, when you're trying to work on focus and things are out of focus, sometimes you do need to settle. You can't rush through everything. If you got divorced yesterday, you don't need to be married tomorrow. Settle. Stop. Slow down. Wait a minute. Take some inventory. Sometimes it's okay to be by yourself for a little while. You need to settle. Sometimes you need to talk things over before you make a decision. Let me talk to some of you parents, you young parents. Back in the day when I was growing up, if the kid came home and said the teacher was being mean to them, the kid got in trouble first. Because you didn't take a kid's word over adult's word automatically. You would check the kid first. But these new parents, they'll go off on the teacher right away. Maybe you need to settle and ask some questions. Ask Johnny some questions because Johnny's story don't make sense if you settle and ask some questions. A lot of times we just want to go off because we want to run to Facebook and tell everybody what we did and who we told off. And sometimes you need to shut up and settle because who you fighting for is not always telling you the truth. Learned a lesson in Memphis, Tennessee. I was from Muncie, Indiana, and so I thought Muncieana Homes and Parkview, I thought that was the real hood. I didn't realize until I went to Memphis that there was a different hood. So one of my friends from Anderson, Indiana, he was down in Memphis cutting up, messing with somebody else's girl. And so he came and told us that these people, but this dude was after him. And we was like, shoot, he ain't gonna whip you by yourself. We gonna stand up. So three or four of us went with him, but it was about 12 dudes from Memphis coming down the street with guns. Brother, I'm out. No, sir. I'm from Muncie. I don't know what's going on over there. You on your own. He didn't tell me the whole story. I was ready to ride or die with them, but guess what? I was about to get in some trouble, but I figured out it's too many of them jokers. No. So we was actually in a van. Let me out the van. I'm going back to the hotel. I didn't know what really happened. Come to find out, he was the one at fault. Come to find out. Thank God for God's goodness and mercy that nothing happened, but he was the one at fault. But I was ready to go off, but sometimes you need to settle, because it'll help you find some focus. All right, let's give us a scripture that backs this up. Actually, something that the people did not want to hear.
This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem.
All right, this is what they said. You remember the children of Israel, they got exiled to Babylon. Everybody was telling them, hey, this isn't going to last long. And this is what God says. Look at the next verse.
Build homes and plan to stay, plant gardens, and eat the food they produce.
He said, you actually going to be here a while, so don't rush. Actually, settle on in here. In other words, this is actually part of your punishment. And so what you're going to have to do is make the most of it, because I ain't delivering you right away. We like the scripture that says immediately, straightway, right away. And I was even testifying about stuff that can happen right now, but everything ain't going to happen right now. Some stuff you're going to be in for a while, so you might as well learn how to adapt and settle and make the best of a bad situation. Let's go on what it says.
Marry and have children, then find spouses for them, so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away.
Do not dwindle away. Pastor, I can't wait to go to Atlanta so I can get my business off the ground. And God telling you, I've assigned you to Muncie. So you can run to Atlanta if you want, but in 6 months, you're going to be back here. So you might as well make the best of Muncie, Heakin Park, and McCullough, because this is where I've assigned you.
Yes.
And once God has assigned you somewhere, it ain't going to work nowhere but where you at. So make the best of where you are.
Amen.
Bloom where you planted. Look at the next verse.
And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for its welfare will determine your welfare.
Its welfare will determine your welfare. Here's a clue. I don't have it in my notes necessarily, but let me throw this out there. A lot of times God will make you serve something that is someone else's before he gives you your own. Let me go back to the business example. He's watching how you handle the other person's business that you work for before he blesses you with your own business. If you won't prosper the business where you are, you are already telling God you don't deserve to have your own. Amen. If you stealing for the woman you work for, then why would God allow you to have your own? Sometimes you got to settle right where you are and learn to find focus and clarity where you are. Brings me to point number two. I'm going to stay in this passage for a while. Point number two, sometimes you have to change the sound to focus. I got a perfect example that you'll understand. I love my music while I'm driving until I'm lost. When you lost, you turn that down. Because I'm trying to focus. Listen, Jodeci and Boys and Men, you're going to have to wait for a second. Because I don't know where I am. I got to focus. Tom Joyner in the morning and Nephew Tommy, you got to be turned down. Because I got to focus. So sometimes in order to focus, you have to adjust the sound. Another example that'll help you understand. The older I get, the more I need the television sound up. Because when the kids are talking, while I'm trying to watch, if I got to adjust the sound. And sometimes my daughter's like, Daddy, what is wrong with your hearing? I don't know, but either y'all got to shut up or I'm going to have to turn the sound up because I need to focus. And guess what? I don't even like the captions, but sometimes I got to turn the sound up and put the captions on. So I can focus. Sometimes you have to change the sound in order to focus. Now let's go back into this passage and help that make sense. Tie this in together. Jeremiah 29:8.
Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have.
Hear the next verse.
They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord.
I ain't even told them, but they're telling you what you want to hear. And so since they're telling you what you want to hear, you are happy. But sometimes in order to focus, you got to change the sound. You got to change what you're listening to. Listen, I love to give you happy messages, encouraging messages. I love to tell you that God's going to bless you and all that. But if that's all I'm telling you, something's wrong. Because sometimes you got to listen to what you don't want to hear.
Amen.
Sometimes the best advice is advice you don't want to hear. Sometimes the best thing you need is for somebody to tell you no.
Amen.
And heaven no. Praise the Lord. Heaven, no. Sometimes you need to hear no to the no, no, no. But we don't like that. We want people in our life. And that's why some of your relationships have not worked out, because you only want people that will agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But iron sharpens iron. And every now and then, you got to have somebody in your life that says, no, that don't make sense.
Amen.
No, you need to adjust. You need to change. But We only want what sounds good. Now, because of the way we've grown up, we like church a certain kind of way. And so you want all the theatrics, but sometimes there's no substance behind the style. I heard a story, my God, about a man named Jed. Oh, poor mountaineer. Yes, he was. Can I get an amen? He barely kept his family fed. Then one day, wait a second, I ain't said nothing but the Beverly Hillbillies. There's nothing behind what I'm saying. There's no substance. It's a good style, but there's no substance there. That's why you can leave and go call your friend and say, oh, we had church this morning. Well, what the preacher talked about, I don't know, but it was good. Nothing wrong with good preacher. I love a good preacher, but please be saying something. Because the devil's going to fight me when I get out the door, and I can't have Beverly Hillbillies when I get out the door. I need the word of the living God. Sometimes in order to get your focus, you got to have the right sound. It might be a sound you don't want to hear. Let me go ahead and make it plain like you're saying. Let me make it plain with the scripture. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Look at what it says.
For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear.
They're going to find folk who are going to say what they want to hear. Next verse.
They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths.
You wonder why people have gotten so far off, intelligent people, believing things that don't make sense because they only wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. But when you're wanting to get focused, you're willing to adjust the sound. All right, let's go to point number 3. Sometimes you have to slow down to focus. Not only do you have to adjust the sound, very similar to settling, but sometimes you just got to slow down. One of the things that I've done when I've gotten lost, I don't mind driving at a nice speed. I like to drive a nice speed. I got too many tickets to drive fast anymore. I don't have to drive fast no more. I learned my lesson. It took me about 10 tickets to learn my lesson. So I don't have to drive too fast. But I don't like to go too slow. But when I'm lost, I slow down because I'm trying to see where am I at? And then you say, oh, I saw that on the way here. Oh, I know I'm on the right track. So sometimes you do have to slow down a little. Let's look at what the verse says here.
But that says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place.
Now, this is what he said. He said, I haven't left you. I'm still going to fulfill my promise. But then he said, in 70 years, not in no week, not tomorrow, but it's going to take a while. And once you realize it's going to take a while, you learn how to just slow down. Okay? You might not get married tomorrow. So guess what? Learn how to slow down and enjoy you. This is your chance to work on your figure. Yes. This is your chance to grow some hair in them bald spots you got in the back of your head. You ain't got no man to impress. You can slow down and take your time with it. Same here with the man. It's your time. Man, it's your time to find a job.
Yes.
It's your time to stop playing video games and go out and get you a J-O-B, because even in the Bible, there was a book called J-O-B. You need a job. Well, I put in 2 applications and didn't nobody hire me. Slow down. It may take a while. But here's the thing. Sometimes the good things happen to those who wait. Sometimes you just got to have patience and wait a thing out. And this is what a lot of people learn, especially in your singlehood. You'll learn how much you don't like you once you got to sit with you for a while.
And once you begin to adjust, you'll learn how much you do like you. And that way somebody can't come in and mess up things. Once you have healed and taken the time to heal, you just won't let any and everybody come into your life. I didn't work too hard for my sanity. I can spot a toxic person a mile away. Yes, she wearing the perfume that I like, but not only does she smell like Estee Lauder, she smell like toxicity, and I'm going the other direction. Because I done slowed down, I done made the best of where I'm at, what I'm doing, and I'm just going to enjoy it. Your credit may not be good enough to get another house and another car. Enjoy the car you got. Clean the one you got. Wash the one you got. Clean the house you got. Get out there on the front porch and rock in the chair that's on your front porch and enjoy where you are. Sometimes you just gotta slow down. Because God, when he promised you something, it's going to come to pass. It just may not come when you want it. But when it comes, it'll always be right on time. All right, so now we're going to read the last verse, and this last verse is the verse that everybody talks about, but I wanted to show you it in its context, what it really says. But let's look at the last verse. This is the familiar part.
For I know the plans I have for you,
yeah,
declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Plans to prosper you. People love Jeremiah 29:11, but they don't know the previous verses. The previous verses says it ain't going to change right away. But what I'm promising you, I still got a plan for your life. It may be going in reverse right now, but I still got a plan for your life. You may have just left divorce court, but I still got a plan for your life. You may have ended up in the unemployment line, but I still got a plan for your life. They may have repossessed your car, but I still got a plan for your life. And so what God says, while you're in the down days, learn how to focus. Because what happens when the good days come, you'll appreciate them and you'll handle them better. Sometimes it takes a good loss to have a good lesson. And sometimes a good loss and a good lesson will lead you to a good blessing that you won't fumble away. Yeah. Here's the thing. When we were young and we had money, we would just do anything. But after you get bills and you get debt and all kinds of stuff, when you get older, you handle money a little different. Yeah. My son, Draylen, now he's 16 years old, and we pay him different things, but every now and then he's out of money. I'm like, how are you out of money so quick? Well, I went to Texas Roadhouse, and I went over to 7 Brew, and I did this, and I did that. But just recently, since he took over my old car, it's now his car, and he got to put gas in the car, it shifts where he going to go and what he going to eat. Because once you realize money don't grow on trees, you got to handle it a little different. And for some of y'all, your next blessing is going to be your best blessing because you know how to handle it now. You're going to be focused. Uh-oh, let me throw this in here. You're going to be so focused that folk you love, you're going to tell them no when they ask to borrow. Because you've been borrowing all my life and you ain't never paid me back. I love you, but this next blessing, you can't have none of it because I'm too focused to go back in the same direction. Love you, baby. But if you can't pay back 5, you can't pay back 5,000. And if your love is connected to only what I can do for you, you didn't love me in the first place. It's tight, but it's right. Go on to the next one. Point number 4. Sometimes you have to prioritize the focus. So what I'm talking about here, when it comes to money, you have to learn how to prioritize in order to focus. You know, I got a lot on my plate. And because I have a lot on my plate, I almost forget it's an election year. It's so much going on in this election cycle, I just don't have time for it. It was several hours late before I even knew that there was an assassination attempt on the former president. I didn't know nothing about it because me and my wife were in Vegas because she blessed me with 48 hours in Vegas for my birthday. So guess what? I was enjoying her. I don't care nothing about Joe or Donald. I'm enjoying Devin because at the end of the day, Joe can't change my life and Donald can't change my life, but Devin can. So let me focus on who I need to focus on. I'm not telling you you should be an unintelligent voter. You should be an intelligent voter. But sometimes, especially in this cycle, wait till it gets closer and figure out who you're going to vote for. Because these folk will drive you crazy. Every time you turn on the news, well, Joe half crazy. Is Kamala coming? Well, Donald crazy. All y'all crazy. I'm focusing on the Lord. Guess what? I'm crazy too. So I'm focusing on the Lord. And I'm going to pray, God, you tell me who to vote for. You tell me what to do. But I don't have time, as the scripture says, to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I'm no longer am I going to let social media and the news dictate my day. Amen. You happy when you wake up and you watch the news for 10 seconds. You mad the rest of the day. The devil is a lie. No, I'm going to stay focused on what God has for me. You know that sometimes you plan a vacation. And you get it all planned, all paid for, because I don't like to pay for my vacation after I get home. I like to pay for my vacation before I leave. But after it's all paid for, then you ask Siri, what's the weather like? It tell you it's going to rain every single day you're there. Oh, God, nothing ever good happens to me. You know what I say? I say, rain in the name of Jesus. When I get there, I need you to back off so I can do what I want to do, when I want to do, how I want to do it. When we went to West Palm Beach, it rained every single day, but it didn't stop us from swimming. It didn't stop us from going to the beach because when we needed to go, the rain stopped just long enough for us to do what we needed to do. Stop letting things rob you of your focus. Sometimes you have to prioritize. So this leads me right here. This will really help you when it comes to the news and current events. Look at Philippians 4:8 in the English Standard Version.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true.
Uh-huh.
Whatever is honorable.
Yes.
Whatever is just.
Uh-huh.
Whatever
on,
is pure. Whatever is lovely.
Read that thing.
Whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Let me tell you what to prioritize in your thinking. Some of y'all, I'm not against it, but some of y'all don't need Facebook. Because you get on there and it messes up your whole day. I know so-and-so was talking about me when they made that post. They didn't put my name. Maybe they was. Maybe they wasn't. But if you focus on whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, you ain't got time to worry about who don't like you and who do. Because it don't make a difference. One monkey don't stop nobody's show. I'm focused on what God has for me. And what God has for me, it is for me.
Yeah.
Hate if you won't. Like it if you won't. It makes me know never mind. Because I prioritize what is good, what is just, what is lovely, what is pure, what is of a good report. I'm thinking on those things.
Yeah.
You think on those things? It'll change and it'll adjust your day. Sometimes you happy when you ain't got no business being happy. Your situation hasn't changed, but in your head, you're saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and in the mountain of his holiness. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm above only only and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. Oh, I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed when I go out. When you put the word of God in your mouth and you put the word of God in your heart, I got some stuff I can think on. And the last time I thought about it, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the living King. I'm blessed when I come. I'm blessed when I rise. I'm blessed when I go to sleep. Devil, you got to get up a lot early in the morning to depress me, because I'm going all the way with the Lord. Think on these things. Put the word. That's why the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin unto thee. Oh, it's a light unto my feet. It's a lamp unto my path. The word will change my life, but I have to prioritize it. It's got to become priority to me. I got to focus on it. Put my focus on it. It'll shift some things. Now, let me. It's easy to quote scriptures with a microphone in the pulpit at church. It's much harder when you're in the thick of life. But here's the thing. What I don't quote is still yet in me. Sometimes I'm so rocked and confused, it don't even come out of my mouth right. But that's why the Bible says God knows your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. So God can pull what's out of in my heart and pull it into my life. I wonder, the woman with the issue of blood, I wonder with 12 long years, I wonder what she said. The scripture says she said within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She said it within herself. And guess what? There came a day when she was able to touch and her whole life changed. But she prioritized not her problem, but the solution. All right. Come on. Let's go to point number five. Sometimes you need more than one touch to focus. Sometimes you need more than one service to focus. One sermon to focus. Let's look at this. Mark 8:22-25. Read that.
They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him.
All right, next.
He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything?
Ooh, he asked him, do you see anything? Look at what he said.
He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around.
All right. I like this brother here. Because you know what? For some of us, because we don't want to embarrass folks, we'll just lie. Okay, I'm better, Jesus. Somebody pray for you. How you feel? I'm better. No, because you don't want to embarrass. He told the truth. I see. But I see folk looking like trees. In other words, I'm somewhat there, but I'm not all the way there. Here's one of the things that'll rob you of your focus is pretending like you're perfect when you're not.
Amen.
I ain't there yet. I'm not delivered yet. I'm not free yet. Of course, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not yet what I want to be. So guess what? You may have to touch me again. Read some more.
Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly.
Oh, he regained his focus, and Jesus touched him again. Here's the thing I need you to understand. However many touches you need to regain your focus, don't be ashamed. Get whatever you got to get clarity and get the focus you need. Oh, there we go, Brother Donald, back up at the altar. Don't worry about him. He's trying to get what he needs to get his focus. God, touch me as many times as you need to touch me. Touch me in the morning. Touch me in the afternoon. Touch me in the evening. Touch me at church, but touch me at home. Touch me at school. Touch me at the mall. Touch me in the pool. Touch me as many times as you need to touch me for me to get the focus that I need. So sometimes it takes more than one touch. That's why I say we confess our deliverance consistently, because this time, sometimes God delivers in one area and we get a hit in another area. But listen, God just keep on touching. Keep on touching, because whatever you touch, you change. Yes. I've told you a story about when God puts his hands on something. And I'll make it quicker this time. If I put my hands on a tennis racket, it's just a tennis racket. Same tennis racket, different hands. Put it in Serena Williams' hands. It's a $1 million making tennis racket. Same racket, different hands. And so it's all about whose hands is on you. And if God get his hands on you, he can make something out of nothing. So let him touch you as many times as he need to touch you. All right, here we go. Final point. Put that up. Sometimes you have to start over to focus. Slow down just for a second. I got all these other things, but sometimes things are so in disarray, you just need to start over. And what I mean now, I'm talking about spiritually. It's easy to fake the funk in church, like I said, but when it's just you and you and you and God, sometimes you know how things really are. And sometimes you just need a refresh, a reset, and you use it with another R word, repent. There's a lot of us, we say, we sanctify, we go into heaven, but we still need to repent. Because like I said, and coming into church, we've got a whole bunch of junk, we just stepping over. There's a bunch of junk in your life and you're just stepping over. You ever heard people just say, well, that's just who I am. This is just how I am. Well, why is it that you are comfortable staying like that all the time? Well, sometimes I just go off on folk. But yeah, you going off on folk Monday through Thursday, that's more than sometimes. You may have a problem. Well, this is just why my daddy was like that. My daddy's daddy was like that. His daddy's daddy. Well, there's a problem, sweetheart. Something needs to change, and you need to focus. And sometimes you may just have to start over. Lord, help me. You ever, as they say, woke up on the wrong side of the bed, so to speak, and you've gone throughout the day, and everything is just negative, and you realize, I just need to start over. God touched my day. It may be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but God touched my day because this is off. It doesn't make you a bad person because you have to reset. Give you an example. I talked about playing video games when I was young. I would play video games, and sometimes I would get stuck and realize I wasn't about to win. I wasn't about to beat the boss. Donkey Kong was about to get me again. So instead of wasting my time, I would just hit the reset button. Start over. We're going to try it again. I'm on Pac-Man. I'm trying to do my stuff, and I done messed up. I ain't playing the whole thing out. I'm about to reset and start over. Some of y'all just need a fresh start. So let's look at this. Let's look at Revelation 2, 4 through 5.
But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first.
This is the revelation John had of Jesus at the end of the book, and it was the several different churches, and he comes upon this one church. And he says, you've left your first love. And he says, I'll put it back up there. So this is the complaint I have. You've left your first love. You don't love me. But then it adds this, you don't love me or each other as you did at first. Sometimes the marriage is struggling because y'all need a fresh start. Y'all arguing every day. Y'all need just a fresh start. Go somewhere. And even if you have to be silent, just go on a date and look at each other mad if you have to. But you just need a reconnection. You need a fresh start because the love ain't flowing like it should be. The next verse.
Look how far you have fallen.
Ooh.
Turn back to me and do the works you did at first.
Now look at this. It says, look how far you've fallen. I'm done with you. It's over. I'm kicking you out.
Turn back.
No, he just says, turn back and put it back up there. Turn back and do what?
Turn back to me and do the works you did at first.
We make it so complicated with God. All he said is just start over and do what you used to do. Mm-hmm. What did you used to do? Remember when you first got saved and you was happy and you was crying at the altar and you was reading scriptures and you was praying? Just go back to that. Stop making it so deep. Just go back to what you used to do. Come back to church. Tune in again. Get some different friends. Just start this thing all over again.
Amen.
It's not that difficult, but it'll help you regain your focus. All right, let's finish the whole verse.
Verse Do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches.
He's talking to the church. He said, here's the only problem, though. But if you don't repent, I'm going to have to remove your lampstand, remove your light. In other words, your church is going to cease to function because you just won't repent and refocus. Deliverance Temple, we haven't come this far to lose our light now.
Amen.
Whatever we got to do to refocus, let's do it. It's not that hard, but let's go back to the basics of the simple stuff. And what's the simple stuff? Put God first. All right, let's close with this confession. I'm going to read it, and then we'll stand and say it together. So first, let me read it. Here it goes. Father God, help me find focus. Help me stay focused. And where I've lost focus, help me refocus. I'll say it one more time. Father God, help me find focus. Help me stay focused. And where I've lost focus, help me refocus. All right, let's stand to our feet and let's say this together. Repeating after me, we'll make it a prayer. Father God.
Father God,
help me find focus.
Help me find focus.
Help me stay focused.
Help me stay focused.
And where I've lost focus.
And where I've lost focus.
Help me refocus.
Help me refocus.
Let's do it one more time. Father God.
Father God,
help me find focus.
Help me find focus.
Help me stay focused.
Help me stay focused.
And where I've lost focus.
And where I've lost focus.
Help me refocus.
Help me refocus.
Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, we need to find focus and refocus. And just like it did with that camera, things are out of focus. But it just takes a few small turns to bring things back into focus. And God, as we get back focused on you, the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. So we accept everything that you want to add to us. But we don't want anything that would take our focus away from you. So, God, we praise you. God, we love you. We ask that you will reclaim the backslidden and save those who are lost. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the people say, if you want to come for prayer for salvation or healing, the prayer warriors are going to come and they will meet you. To the online audience, God bless you. Have a great and a wonderful week.